Good evening and welcome to a special village board meeting Tuesday, November 12th at 7 o'clock. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bach.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. 1 minute.
Wants to be here.
President Adusi.
Here.
Should we do it now, Bob, or should we do it later?
Yeah, so if I can get a motion to allow Bob to participate telephonically due to work obligation.
I move that we allow trustee Bob to join telephonically. Bob O'Connell.
Yeah, it can't.
Bob the Builder.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right.
For Bob.
For Bob.
Starting punchy.
Thank you.
Do I need to?
Yeah, you have to take the vote.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Okay, welcome, trustee Bach. Okay, if I can ask everyone to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, right, great. Okay, Dan, I think yours is regarding McDonald's. Would you like to wait and talk at that time? We'll probably get there very soon. And then Phyllis, if you'd like to talk now, please.
I was going to say, how did you know? Because the thing was on here, but you got it.
I got
the list. It's like telescopic or something.
Yeah.
I'm Phyllis Rubin. I live at 411 Ashland Avenue, 6B, the Chatterton condo directly east of us. I've been a River Forest resident for 5 years. I'm also a member of the very newly established Chicago Jewish Coalition for Refugees. It started by HIAS, which is a Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. The Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society started in the late 1800s to help resettle Jews that came over from Eastern Europe. But now what we say is we used to support refugees because they were Jewish. Now we support refugees because we are Jewish. As you know, I don't think I have to tell you that Jews have been pushed out of countries and homeland and had to flee for safety. And so we are refugees and refugees are us. And so that's why this issue is important to Jews and to HIAS. What I want to tell you about is this new executive order that was signed September 25th. It will go into effect on Christmas Day. Not a very nice Christmas present for refugees. It's going to require every local government plus the state, but I'm coming to you as the local government, to opt in to being a community that will resettle refugees. So I know, Trustee Brennan, you asked me when I talked to you about this, do we have any agencies here who do that? Churches, synagogues, immigrant agencies, and it could be agencies outside of River Forest, but they have a location, they have a home in River Forest, and they want to have a family be here for whatever reason. And if we don't opt into this plan, you have to opt in, it's not going to happen. What you want to, I've sent you a packet of stuff and there's more to come. But you have to write a letter, send it to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and also publish it. So you're on public record to say that you will accept, that River Forest will accept refugees to be resettled in our village. And then we will be allowed to do it. The other thing that might happen is that refugees, and these are refugees that are already accepted into the United States, but they won't be able to resettle here if we don't opt in. refugees that are already here and resettled in other communities, maybe they need to move. They won't be able to move here. So this is just gonna say, you know, put a lock on the door of River Forest that they can't come in. So I hope that in when learning about this, that we will opt in. Hias is working on a letter that is unique to Illinois, that serves Illinois' needs. So I know I sent you sample letters. More is coming that will be really fit in with what we need to do in Illinois. And I will get that to you as soon as I get it.
Okay, thank you, Phyllis. And I did have a conversation with our village attorney on this. And so, frankly, this is the first I've kind of heard about it a little bit. I'm not quite sure around, I'm assuming maybe perhaps all the trustees as well. So we take this stuff very serious, and we'll have under advisement of our village attorney. He'll look at the letter, and he's beginning to start looking at that. And it appears we have some date requirement. So I think...
Well, again, there's a better letter. I've jumped the gun here. I'm probably the first person in our group that's talking to anybody about this. But I wanted you to know about it ahead of, you know, as soon as I
thank
know.
Thank you.
And again, there's a better letter for Illinois that's coming out.
Right.
So
okay.
I'll be able to get it.
Real good. Well, I appreciate that. Yep.
Thanks.
Is there a deadline?
Well, they said by...
Time frame?
Apparently it goes into effect at Christmas.
It goes into effect at Christmas, yeah. But...
It's going into effect Christmas. Yep. Now, I don't know if any immigrants are coming
in.
But I guess the sooner one can do it, the better. If it's after Christmas, that's still okay.
Yeah.
Whenever you get it in.
That's what.
And under the executive order, both the state and the what it's called the locality, meaning the municipality, both have to opt in.
Right.
So if the state of Illinois doesn't take action and the village does, that would appear to not comply with the requirement that both opt in under the executive order. So if the village does something, we still need the state to, it appears, to also do something.
We are going to assume, I mean, we'll work on it, but we're going to assume the governor Pritzker will opt in.
Right.
And it's just the state and the municipality then, not the county at all?
Well, I'm sure.
The text of the executive order says the state and the locality, so I'll have to review how this all fits together.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much, Phil. And more to come on that. All right, so it's citizen comments. If I can maybe start with Trustee Bachner and let's know what you've been doing.
So before I begin, I just would like to do a land acknowledgement and say that we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more, and that we will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people, stewards of the land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. That seems to be especially sentient given Phyllis's comments today. And I want to acknowledge Veterans Day. Happy belated Veterans Day to everyone in our community. I had the privilege over the past couple of weeks to attend a couple of events that were really shaping in my thoughts around leadership and the work that we do here at the village. One was a women's leadership conference that the town had helped sponsored through one of our behavioral health institutes here in the area, and had amazing speakers and people to meet in the community. And the idea was doing what we do with intention, and the idea that everything that we do has an impact. Who the people that we connect with have an impact, we have an impact on that. And so I'd like to keep that in mind in all the work that we do. I also had the wonderful opportunity to meet with six Eastern European women who are working in their countries around domestic violence, around women's rights, women's equity, gender equity, children's work, and LGBTQ issues through the Rotary Club. And they have a it's a open leadership that they do every now and then that they're well known for. And the idea was to talk to them about how to get things done. I felt like I wanted to hear more from them than anything else. I think there was a shared reciprocation. And while there were topics that were maybe new to them, like the idea of intersectionality and how people working together can be more powerful, the things that they are working on are the same issues that we have here in the United States. And I think that when we talk about how to get things done in the government, whether it's your local parks to making sure that there's funding and resources for women who need to leave bad situations, to getting laws passed, that there are a lot of commonalities in that. So it was a real pleasure to be a part of both of those things.
Great, glad you went. Okay, thank you, Erica.
I have nothing.
Two items, just a brief update. I mentioned, I think a couple of months ago, that Mayor Ducey and I attended a meeting on behalf or with the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, and that was before the Cott Foundation. We were applying for a grant, and I'm happy to say that we were successful, and we got $39,000 towards our efforts in age-friendly community activities. So thanks for the Knott Foundation for doing that. Also, just a shout out to Julie Moeller from our Sustainability Commission. She's having a presentation or conducting a presentation on the climate crisis on November 20th at the Sugar Beet Building from 5:30 to 7. Light refreshments will be served, and I'm sure Julie's going to be doing an outstanding job. So that's it.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Russ.
I also attended that leadership conference with Erica, the Women's Leadership Conference. That was great. And yesterday I had the opportunity to help out a business class at Dominican, and along with some of our other local business people who participated in a mock interview process with them. So that was a fun thing to do on a snowy morning. Mm-hmm. And very impressed with the students there.
Great.
And the local business people volunteering their time.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Katie.
I just want to say hello and good evening to everyone. The only thing I wanted to ask about, Trustee Brennan suggested at our last meeting the possibility of having our agendas available sooner than Friday, sooner than they have been. It's something I've actually considered for a while, too, in terms of time management for myself, I'm sure other board members, for the community to be able to plan. So I didn't know if that was something we can add to a future agenda. We don't necessarily have to discuss it now, but if it's something that we could consider. I know part of it will be adjusting staff's schedule and time frames of doing things.
Yeah, we can certainly put it on the agenda. I have no issues. I think we need to think through it. So I think it's a good topic to have a conversation on. There are often, it's not hard to put an agenda together. It's hard to keep to the agenda. And so as long as you and everyone's willing to give the staff a long, leeway in terms of what stays on the agenda and what comes off the agenda, I find preparing agenda simple. But I don't think that's what you're looking for. I think what you're looking for is big issues coming before the board and getting enough information before big decisions are coming before the board. Which I think is another issue, but I think we should talk about it and let's put it on the agenda.
It's a combination, truly, because it's the big issues and when is that going to be on our agenda?
Right.
So in terms of planning, so it's both. It's having enough time for the big issues to prepare,
right.
but
I don't think moving it up, and we'll kind of let's discuss it because I don't know if moving it up is going to give you that runway, but maybe if the majority of the board wants it, I'm certainly okay with it. But I just know how agendas over the past several years get established, and they're often very fluid for a variety of reasons. You're waiting for proposals to come in, you're waiting for this to come in, you're waiting for conversations to kind of manifest itself, to a point where it makes some sense to get it on the agenda so that we can have a conversation. So that there's nothing, nefarious about, you know, what goes on and what doesn't go on. So we'll go ahead and talk about it, and we'll take the direction of the majority of the board and what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that. That's next. Yeah, I'm totally cool with that.
Good. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else, Manny? Okay. Hey, Bob. Anything that you have, Bob?
Yeah, just real quick. I had an opportunity along with Village President Ducey to meet with Dr. Marion Bender from the Chamber of Commerce along with Liz Holtz. We had a great conversation about how to get more businesses and individuals in River Forest to participate in the chamber. So I think they're going to be out soliciting some more participants, and hopefully you're going to be able to build the base and have some more community-based activities that the chamber can sponsor and local businesses can participate in. So it was a nice opportunity to meet with Dr. Bender and Liz again, and see what they got on their plate. So that was it.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Okay. Yep. A couple things that other than what was mentioned by Russ and Bob, both Eric and I met with the owners of the now closed Rehab Institute building over there on Keystone and off Lake and right? Thatcher and Keystone Thatcher. It's on Thatcher, excuse me. It's been, I think, closed for now. How long? A couple of years for sure. And so the owners are obviously interested in what kind of development, if any, we would be interested in River Forest. So we provided them with our normal, this is our zoning requirement. This is the type of development that we would, look for and the characteristic of our town and so forth. So I thought that was a good meeting with those owners. Let's see. I also did something with Trinity. I can't remember. That was it. That was all. And then, of course, Happy Veterans Day. So with that, we'll go ahead and go on and talk about the acknowledgement of...
Yeah, no, we just wanted to publicly acknowledge the passing of Robert Jones. Mr. Jones had previously been the village president in River Forest from 1989 to 1993, also involved with the Service Club and the River Forest Tennis Club, which he was a president of that for a period of time. So we just wanted to publicly acknowledge and pass along our condolences to his family.
Yep. Okay. I lived in the 800 block of Williams. They lived a block away from me, and I had the honor of getting to know him at block parties, and we would do a progressive dinner and stuff. And he truly loved River Forest. I mean, he was a real fascinating guy. He was really smart, but he was very down to earth, and he was very proud of his service to the village, and we were lucky to have him.
I didn't know President Jones, so I've heard many good things about him. So I also give my condolences to the family, and thank him and his family for their service to our community. It's a lot of work to whatever elected position you are in. It's a volunteer position. Often people don't, when I say volunteer, it's elected, so I guess it's not really volunteer, but we are non-paying elected officials. So all of our time is on a volunteer basis. We give over our time. So we appreciate the amount of time that President Jones and his family gave to our community. So with that, I'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. If I can ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda, item A through F. In a sec.
Items A through F.
Second.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to please read the consent agenda and then take the vote.
Consent agenda A, regular village board meeting minutes, October 28th, 2019. B, executive session village board meeting minutes, October 28th, 2019. C, waiver of formal bids and award of purchase through the Suburban Purchasing Cooperative, a 2020 Ford F-550 chassis from Sutton Ford for $40,000 $41, and stainless steel dump truck and plow from Regional Truck Equipment for $26,274, total cost of $66,315. D, monthly department reports. E, performance measurement report. F, village administrator's report. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Okay, we have no items under the consent items for separate consideration. That's the first. We have no recommendations of boards and commissions and committees. We have an unfinished business, which is an updated on related to the guest parking at 1500 block of Ashland. So I will let.
Yep. And John Anderson will take that. This was brought up at the last meeting, so we're just providing you an update on that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so the village staff looked at this in our traffic and safety village staff meetings, and we looked at the 1500 block of Ashland as far as guest parking goes. So right now, guest parking is not available. Only resident-only parking is available on the 1500 block of Ashland. There is no parking adjacent to the Loyola building, but we found that there weren't any recommendations to change that, because guest parking is available on North Avenue. There's about 10 to 12 spots available. So, and there's also guest parking available on Franklin and other adjacent streets. And the other thing to consider is this is going to be a part of the commuter parking study that KLOA is gonna perform, although they won't look at it from a guest parking perspective, just for a commuter parking.
John, I actually agree with your recommendation, but why couldn't we adapt the call-in for the overnight parking to that? That was just a question that I had from last meeting. It was said you couldn't adapt the overnight parking call-in program to this guest parking. Why?
The overnight call-in parking, so that could be done on a case-by-case basis, but if it's allowed for guest parking, there would have to be a limit put in place.
No, I think the clarification there, the difference between the two is if you need a full waiver to park in a zone that you're not supposed to be in, then you need to come in and get a pass. If you need to park overnight on the street, even as a guest, correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, that can be called into dispatch non-emergency, correct?
Correct. Wait, could you say that again?
So there's two distinctions. So if you are parking in a, so here, the issue here from the residents was that a guest couldn't park on the west side of the street because it's resident parking only. You need a physical permit to park there because you're parking in a zone you're not permitted to be in. If you need to just stay on a normal street where you can legally park, but park overnight because you have a guest or there's some other extenuating circumstance, that can be called in.
I agree with this completely. I mean, there's a perfect solution, but why couldn't, I guess I don't understand why you couldn't, in lieu of a pass, just say, I have a guest that's parking in front of my house.
Guest that's parking in front of your house.
When you give the license plate.
Right, but the issue is they can't park on, let me make sure I understand here.
So in the zone, it's resident parking.
Right, so this is a resident parking only. They can't park in that zone, right. Period, end of story. The guest can't.
Okay.
So we don't provide waivers for that.
So there isn't, it's not that the system couldn't be adapted, it's just, it's contrary to policy.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, my question was more about the system, because just didn't strike me as...
Right. But if those guests then parked on North Avenue, and they had to park in overnight, then they could call that in.
No, I understand that.
Mm. Okay.
So, John, just to clarify, the map that was in our packet along here on North Avenue is red.
Right.
But are you saying that's actually available for parking?
No, just west of that. So just west of Ashland.
So between Ashland and Franklin,
correct.
You're saying is,
yes.
But not there. Okay.
Right.
Seem to have a question. I'll acknowledge you. Would you, if you, yeah, because you'd like to, people are, we're actually live streaming, so.
You know, I'm understanding.
If you could just state your name.
My name is Donna Marcuselli, and I live at 1544
okay,
Ashland, and I'm the president of the board of Vincent Courts. I've been there for 20 years. I've lived in this community 60 years. My father used to own River Forest Market. So that's how long I've been, my family's been in this community. My question is, if I'm having my sister, my girlfriend, whatever, come to visit me, and they can't park on Ashland Avenue, I'm going to have them park a half a block away around the corner because it's not convenient for me to call the village police department and say, here's her license plate number. She's going to be visiting me. Really?
No, she can park on North Avenue. There's available capacity on North Avenue for her to park.
Would you want your car parked on North Avenue?
So
I've parked my car on North Avenue. I mean, the issue is over by Loyola Gottlieb, we've had through the years a lot of discussion and engagement with the residents and public safety concerns about access for vehicles. And so we've restricted parking on the east side to nobody and then only resident parking on the west side. And so the issue that was raised by the residents was we don't have anywhere for our guests to park. And the answer back to that is there is capacity on North Avenue and there is capacity on Franklin. I understand that may not be the answer that you're looking for, certainly, but that there is available capacity on the street. And if those folks then parked on North Avenue need a waiver to park overnight, they're able to call the police department and get that waiver.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Is the issue mostly overnight?
No, it has nothing to do with overnight. Right. This is during the day. On a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, when friends or family are coming over to visit people, or in the afternoons. I'm not talking about anything overnight. This has nothing to do with overnight parking at all. I'm just talking about during the day.
Right.
You know, that's all right. I'm talking about.
And so you have a sticker for your car.
Well,
for resident
I live in
parking.
The village.
Right.
Yeah. But here, I'll give you a perfect example. I have, every once in a while, I have girlfriends over that come over. And I have, like, there could be eight of us at my house. Where am I going to tell all eight of my girlfriends to park? Oh, park around the block on Franklin? Really? I mean, come on. And, you know, haul yourself around the corner. You know, tell my sister and, you know, her husband and, you know, whoever else is visiting on a holiday, park on Franklin and walk halfway around the block to come to my house when I have parking right out in front that I can't use for them.
So they would, these residents would prefer that zone be changed from resident parking only to anybody. Which again, we've had conversations through the year.
No, I don't want it back to. I don't want it back to anybody because then you have everybody at Loyola who wants to park in front of my condo.
Correct.
At 7:30 in the morning before I even leave for work, they're all parked out in front. I don't want that either. But what I'm getting at is, if there's a guest coming over, why can't I just call the police department and say, "Here's who's coming. Here's the license plate number. They're going to be parked out in front."
Because that's not what the regulation allows. So it's for resident parking only. So if it's resident parking, and then what's the criteria by which we then the police department either allows or doesn't allow? And so since we looked at it, we saw that there was adequate capacity on North Avenue. There is capacity also on Franklin. So in the event, I understand there's a little walking involved, but certainly it is around the corner. We're not asking folks to park down at Thatcher at Harlem either. So the capacity's there, it's available. If, you know, if the other option for the board, if they wanted to, you could refer this back to the Traffic and Safety Commission, but they have certainly spent their time through the last couple of years discussing this.
And that's their final recommendation.
Have there been any concerns from other residents on this block? Because obviously they're going to be in the same situation. If people didn't have room in their driveway and they had eight people, I mean, everybody's in the same situation on that block, not just the condo, as far as resident parking.
You got resident parking all over River Forest.
Resident parking for
you know
house.
That. So
no, I know.
Okay, so the policy is this, and that's the crux of the issue right now is, do you want to change the policy for River Forest. It's just not for Ashland. I mean, we're talking that, I mean, that's, I think the big question was, and I think Traffic and Safety reviewed this at length, mm-hmm. and the recommendation was what is before us. So, right? I'm not mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so the issue we're wrestling with is not that, you're right. I mean, we want to give you what you want, but the problem is the policy is throughout River Forest. And so, like Tom said, there's resident-only parking in front of your home, too. And what does your guest do?
Park in my driveway.
Park in your driveway. All right. So,
Eric, just a couple of questions. So can you remind me, is resident parking only different than permit parking? Do we have permit parking here in River Forest in terms of, like, on residential streets?
Well, we certainly have the permits for the commuter lots. I'm trying to think.
So, and what I'm thinking about, and I don't know if this is what you're thinking about, but, like, I remember when I lived in Chicago,
exactly,
in apartments in the middle of the city, I had tags that I could buy and give to my guests, and they could,
right,
use it for that day,
mm-hmm.
on that street, right? They just put the date in. And so it was resident permit parking only, but we had this guest pass that we could give out so that when I had somebody over, they could actually find parking,
right,
mm-hmm.
close to me. And so I'm wondering, is there capacity for that on this street here? Or is there not, right? Like, do we have, is that something? And then also my second question then too is this something that our parking study is going to look at overall, including this street, and maybe be able to give some recommendations around?
Yeah, the parking study is going to look into that and touch upon that. The suggestion about the, what I call the Chicago model, where you would go to your alderman's office and pick up the,
right,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
for a fee too.
For a fee though.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, we would have to certainly talk through that on a staff level and look at how something like that would be implemented. And again, not to belabor the point, and I understand that it's not maybe the first choice, but there are options on North Avenue to park. So I just do want to be.
I hesitate charging people. I don't want.
I'm not saying that that's a solution. I'm
right.
just saying, mm-hmm. I remember that that's something that has been done in other places. And quite frankly, is there capacity on the street for that? You know, because we have, I think, a lot of residents who live on this part of Ashland. So then if we do that, then are people going to actually be able to find parking because they're giving out all these?
I think that's going to be the studies, is how
yeah.
much you can give per.
Right.
But it would have to be village-wide. Just can't be.
Well, I was going to say,
yeah.
It couldn't be just for the street.
The policy is, that's what we're wrestling with,
mm-hmm.
is should we change our policy and create another system, as you suggested, or should we, or do we stay with the policy and suggest parking in other streets, as they suggested, and
mm-hmm.
as the Traffic and Safety Commission suggested? I mean, it's a policy issue
mm-hmm.
that we have to think through. And I know this is, I get the issue. I don't know. I mean, if a final Traffic and Safety Commission recommendation, remind the trustees what the final recommendation, just so.
Right, it's with the restriction that you see in place right now that allows for resident parking only. Again, a lot of that was driven by the folks from Loyola parking on the street instead of
sure.
parking in the lot. That has since corrected that issue. And then also restricting it on the east side of the street for all vehicles, because there were issues with police and fire vehicles having enough width
mm-hmm.
within the street to work their way down the North Avenue. So it was really a twofold type issue.
When did that go before the traffic and safety?
It's in your page.
Do you remember? About a year ago.
Okay, so it wasn't this particular resident's concern.
No.
But it was the block. I mean,
the block.
It was the block that was asking for the change.
Right.
So I don't know if it was people in the condos or not, but I know that it was generated by the block itself because it was a problem. And I can, anecdotally at least, because I usually use the Ashland to avoid the light at Lathrop, that stretch is usually pretty full, like, during the day. That stretch, the first, before the driveway. I mean, I personally, I don't think having to walk to half a block is too onerous. you know, I mean, no, if you live in the city, you got to walk a lot more than that.
I'm not saying a half a block, but you're, you know, if I'm parking on the corner at Ashland and North Avenue, and I'm asking somebody to walk all the way to Franklin and park around that corner, I mean, that's more than a half a block.
It's a block.
It's a block.
I mean, they're half city blocks.
That's right.
Sorry, I'm just looking at your we're looking at the plan that's up on.
Yeah. Here's the aerial.
Right.
There is parking, yeah, parking in the back, and then parking along the west side as well.
Right. Parking in the back where?
Well, is that lot yours there?
That lot is ours. Those are spaces for everyone who owns a condo. So
correct.
That is not open lot, and if you park in that lot, you'll get towed because those people have their own spaces.
Right.
For everyone that owns a condo. So no, that's not an open lot.
No, I didn't say it was open. I'm just saying that, but that's the lot for your building.
That's the lot for the building, yeah.
And there's limited guest spots, right?
There are no guest spots.
There are none.
There's nothing. There's just enough for everybody that owns a condo.
So what do you do now? Do you just move your car into the street and leave, let your a guest park in your spot?
Well, 2 weeks ago when my sister came over, there was a pass, so I had her put the pass in her windshield, and, you know, that took care of that. Most of the time, I mean, I'm the one who's driving, and I'll have somebody park in my spot. But, again, if I have more than one guest, what am I supposed to do? You know. I mean, I know you guys say North Avenue. Okay. And in the winter, and we are in the winter, they can't park on North Avenue because there's the snow restriction. So you can't park on North Avenue. So that counts North Avenue out for the whole winter season.
That's every street in River Forest.
Yeah, the 2-inch rule in terms of is everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but the 2-inch rule, I get it when you're saying, okay, so they can't park on the street. If you can't park on the street,
well, then you can't park on the street anywhere. I mean,
right. You know.
But there's no permit restriction on North Avenue.
Is that lifted? It's not changed for holidays, is it? The resident-only parking?
No, it doesn't say holidays. It's just no.
No, the only time we waive that is the overnight restriction. Correct, Chief?
For all of us.
For everybody.
Is it overnight? What about the time limit parking zone? Is that waived during the holiday season?
Nope.
No. Just overnight.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. John, thank you. If you could come to the podium, I only because.
I'd like to be recognized first.
Yes, you may. I acknowledge you. Yes.
I won't take
your. No worries.
Hi, my name is Brian Tiedemann. I also live in the same building. I just would like to know, there are some meetings. I was not here when the meetings were taking place. I was not. I didn't know about the signs and the problem with it. I came back from where I was living outside of River Forest to notice this. But I appreciate that people are taking time to look into this. I'd like to know, how can I be involved in that? You know, is there a date where I can go? And am I supposed to wait for something in the mail? Like, what can I do? Is there a way that I can share my thoughts about what would work for us moving forward? Or is that not possible?
Absolutely. I mean, we have... I'm a member of a traffic and safety commission that meets on every month.
Mm-hmm.
Monthly.
Every other month.
Or when as needed. Yeah. But if you go on our website,
okay.
I would highly recommend going in front of the traffic and safety commission.
Traffic and safety,
yeah.
Okay.
And you can go right up on our website and you'll see when they meet next. You know, that's the place to really begin the conversation.
Got it.
And the past minutes of the meetings are available. Online.
Okay.
So I think the first step to get, a more of the historical perspective of what's been discussed and talked about, that's probably the place you can start, and then between myself and then John Anderson, our Public Works Director, and Jeff Loster, who's the village engineer, certainly happy to talk to you about any questions or concerns you have. It's we've just discussed it internally, and here's kind of where we're at. And I think
right.
you see
and,
where.
And I haven't been here for a lot. I've missed a lot of the discussion.
No worries.
And so
yeah, we understand. Yeah, I understood. And so yeah,
okay.
we would love to have you involved with.
Okay, so go there, and
sure.
then if I go there and I discuss some of my feelings about that, that would also be all right.
Yes,
at one of those
of
meetings.
Course. Yeah,
okay.
absolutely.
All right. Thank you
yeah.
very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's welcomed. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to now new business. So if I can get a motion in a second on 9A, please.
Move to direct the village administrator to process the McDonald's restaurant request for a minor amendment to their planned development permit for electronic outdoor menu boards.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Dan, I'm sorry. Would you like to come to the podium?
Daniel Lauber, 7215 Oak, right next door to McDonald's for 32 glorious years. we encourage you to adopt and approve the amendment with an additional paragraph, which I sent to all of you earlier today, a new section 3 that deals with enforcement of the existing provision of the plan development that requires the operator to provide 6 off-site parking spaces for staff. The reason for this provision in the first place was that they knew from day one that the lot was not large enough to provide enough off-street parking for the customers, much less the staff. And it would have been very nice if they could have acquired the Chase property, but they could not. So the original agreement provided that they would provide 6 off-site parking spaces for staff. Unfortunately, they didn't do that. As we rudely learned from staff, they were parking on Oak, risking tickets, which was a serious problem for them given the salaries they're paid. The manager took the space that's immediately behind the back as his own. And it was only in the summer of 2018 where McDonald's finally leased spaces and provided a copy of the lease to the village. So in the interest of making it more systematic for an easier enforcement for the village of this provision that meets a need for the parking for their staff, because they can't afford to live here, a good number of them have to drive, we're suggesting that you add a new section 3 that the applicant shall provide to the village administrator a copy of its lease of off-site parking spaces for employees as provided for in the plan development permit within 10 business days of the date on which the lease commences. You've all gotten a copy of this. I hope that is the version of the amendment that you will adopt. Regarding the other matters with this, we are very much appreciative of Michelle and Mary's assistance on this. They did not know where the pre-browse board would actually go. The drawings did not show it very clearly. Once they got the information that they would go in locations that would not interfere with the delivery trucks, that solved the basic problems. There were other issues that were discussed at the neighborhood meeting, and they were very, very helpful on that. And you've got a memo that details those, which are proper subjects for another time, not tonight. So we appreciate you tabling this so that McDonald's could provide the additional information so that we'd all know it wouldn't be a problem. And we strongly encourage you to approve this amendment with that additional paragraph.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. We hear you. My suggestion is that we don't table it, that we go ahead and vote on the minor amendment for the electronic outdoor menu. But I think you raise a very good point, and I think your issue about making sure that the current plan development is not in violation. And so I think what we should do is ask staff, direct staff, to look at the lease, as you suggested, and to also ensure that there are 6 off-premise spots for staff, and that it's in their lease, as well as that they're abiding by the current plan development. And if they're not, if they're in violation of that, then it goes through our proper zoning fines and you know, we get it right. They get back into compliance of their planned development. But I don't think I don't believe the two should be mixed. I mean, this is, you know, I think they've been working as well as with the residents fairly well together to try to get this moved ahead. And I think the other issue, I think we could, like I said, I think it's a good issue, and I think it could be dealt with through administratively. And so I'd like to suggest that staff do that, and and you can report back to all of us electronically, as well mm-hmm. as to Dan and any other residents that is, you know, interested in this topic. I mean, if that's okay by the board, I just think that's a way to handle both issues. This one can move forward, mm-hmm. and then the one that is raised about ensuring that they're not in violation of their current plan development, which is their 6 off-premise spots.
Okay.
I think it's a reasonable.
So in other words, we really don't need to add this provision because we already have the authority to go ahead and pursue it and enforce it.
That's correct.
Right?
That's
okay.
correct.
Okay.
And we have that through the ordinance that's already in
that's
place.
Right. That's already in place in their current
right.
plan development. Right. So, okay. So with that, unless there's any further questions, I'd ask the clerk to take the vote.
Hey, it's Bob.
Oh, yeah, Bob.
I would ask the clerk not to call my name due
yep.
to my
that's right.
Relationship with the franchisee.
Okay, thank you.
So Trustee O'Connell, I believe, is recusing himself from the vote.
Yes.
Correct.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, on 9B, if I can get a motion and a second, and we'll discuss
okay.
it.
I move to direct the village administrator to process the Dominican University request for a minor amendment to the plan development permit for the Crown Library Terrace enclosure.
Second.
Okay. Is there anything that you want to add to this, Eric?
No, I think it's fairly straightforward. Representatives from Dominican are here if you have any questions. This qualified for a minor amendment. The footprint of the building is not expanding. They're essentially taking an outdoor area and enclosing it for additional instructional type uses.
Okay, yeah, looks pretty straightforward.
But again, Jill and Dawn from Dominican are here. If you do have any questions, I sort of want to recognize
it's pretty
that.
Pretty straightforward, I think.
Right.
And this actually looks nice. Very nice.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you want to leave that? Phyllis, you want to leave it? Yeah, sure.
I did print stuff up, so.
Okay, John will take that.
There you go. Yeah, terrific. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you so much. All right. Is there, doesn't seem like there's, it's like pretty straightforward. Looks, the design looks fabulous. Thank you. So I'll ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Hennick. Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
What?
Oh, sorry.
Your last, Katie.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So if I can get a motion on 9C in a second, and we'll talk about it.
Move to approve an ordinance amending Title 9-2-20 of the Village Code, designate 418 Franklin as a village parking lot with 8 designated 24-hour parking permit spaces and 20 free 3-hour time limit spaces.
Second.
Okay.
All right. Parking continues. As you know, the village acquired the former MB Financial lot at 418 Franklin. And so what staff is recommending at this point is that there are two components to that lot. The north half, there's 90-degree spaces there. Those would become 3-hour spaces consistent with the parking restriction time limit in the central business district. And then the spaces on the south side that are parallel, we would turn those into 24-hour spaces. So we do have some folks that live in the adjoining condominium areas. We do have a small wait list of folks that are looking for 24-hour spaces. We would then open that up for sale and purchase for a monthly permit for that purpose.
Yeah, talk about it. Any further questions? Okay, hearing none. Let's please take the vote.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Motion passed.
All right. Well, we do not have an executive session tonight, so.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All right. This might be a record. All right.
Since we have a person telephonically, I need to call the roll.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Look at her.
Oh, clerk.
Miss Roberts rules.
Trustee Bachner.
Do I just say?
Yes. Are we okay to adjourn? Yes.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick. Trustee O'Connell.
Yeah, my chair looks empty there.
All right. Travel safe, Bob.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
we are adjourned.